You would please join me in Psalm 118. You see it there also in the projection in front of you. Hear the inerrant, infallible word of the living God. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. As my helper, I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected have become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. You've heard me speak of Martin Luther many times. I would regard him as one of my heroes, a great reformer of the 1500s. Also the writer of the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He cited this psalm, Psalm 118, as his favorite. And Luther is quoted as saying, "This is my psalm. My chosen psalm, I love them all, I love all scripture, which is my consolation and my life, but this psalm is nearest to my heart, and I have a particular right to call it mine. It has saved me from many a pressing danger. It is my friend, dearer to me than all honors and power of the earth." He noted particularly verse 17. And he wrote this, and it's said to have been on plaque in his study, in his bedroom. And verse 17 says, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." Now, please understand context for Martin Luther during his lifetime in the early days of the Reformation. Many reformers previous to him and during his lifetime were killed, martyred because of their beliefs. Luther was lifted in his spirit by this verse, and he was assured that he was perfectly safe until all the work God had given him on earth was done. This psalm was also the last song that our Lord Jesus sang after the Passover on that night as he was making his way to the Garden of Gethsemane and then on to the cross. This was the last song he sang. Peter used this psalm in many, many places. One I'll point out to you is in chapter 2 of his first book, where he speaks about we have been saved by God's mercy. The God of our salvation, we have been saved by this mercy. And this is what Psalm 18 is all about. Proclaiming the wonder of God's salvation that we have been given through his mercy. We who have experienced God's gracious salvation should sing along with the psalmist here, verse 1 of Psalm 18. Oh, we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So if you've been saved by the grace of God, then join in with this psalmist in singing that line. Now, as you have heard, as I read this is a fairly long psalm, so we're going to take it in large bites. First of all, verses 1 through 4. Please notice, if you will, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Now, if you would, turn over to the last verse of that same psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. This is the way of the Hebrew writers to bring special emphasis, the repetition, giving thanks to the love of God. And this is the way the author brings this out in its importance. The psalmist then calls on three different groups to bring attention, to bring praise. He calls on the nation of Israel. The entire nation of Israel should sing praises to God because of the salvation he has brought to the people. We can see church there. The entire church should sing praise to God for the salvation that he has brought to us. Then he says the house of Aaron should give praise. Here he is speaking particularly to the priests, the preachers, the one bringing God's message to you. It should be first and foremost on our lips. We give thanks to the Lord. His steadfast love endures forever. And then he says, finally, let those who fear the Lord bring praise and his steadfast love giving thanks. This is speaking to the congregation. Let everyone here who calls on the name of the Lord join in with the singing of this psalm in giving thanks. Now, underlying these verses and this entire psalm is the experience of God's salvation. So I pray that we all, as I've said, know that salvation, and that is meeting the greatest need you have ever had or will have in your life. Is God's salvation to you? His steadfast love endures forever, and he has brought that salvation to us. And so again, through our faith in Jesus Christ who bore your punishment, again, we should be joining the psalmist here, singing, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That word steadfast, we spoke about this in Sunday school. Steadfast, never changing. God can never change. God can never change. So this thanks should be something that's continuously coming out of our mouths because of the thanks we have for the salvation God has given us. Now, in verse 5, we see a pretty significant turn. This psalm is not all about praise and adoration. The psalmist is revealing that he is in distress. Verse 5, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me. And then one after another, people coming after him. And he says, I cut them off. I love that phrase. I cut them off. So that person that comes and attacks you, that person who speaks harshly, I cut them off. Have nothing to do with them. This is what the psalmist is saying. In my distress, I look to the Lord. His enemies hate him. The nations surround him like swarms of bees. The question can be asked here. Why does God allow the believer to go through the trials and sometimes very significant trials? Kitsy spoke about being free of cancer. Why did she have to go through that? Others of you have been ill quite significantly. Why? Well, sinfulness, our bodies decaying, etc. Hardships. Why? Well, here are a few answers. First, our pains cause us to pray even more deeply. Verse 5 again, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. We pray most diligently. I hope, as I said in Sunday school, I hope we are people of prayer every day, all opportunities. Be constantly in prayer. But when those significant times come in your life, that's when we dig in, realizing that God is the only place we can find the help to get us through those particular times. Secondly, during the trials, our true faith is revealed. Our true faith is revealed in those hardships. In Sunday school, I was telling of the conversation I had with Tony about Tony's dad. His last weeks, he was basically paralyzed and was bedridden. And so you would think he would be kind of sullen and sad, etc. No, not Mr. Harper. Everybody that walked by, he had a joke. He had a, "How are you doing today?" He was comforting them. He was encouraging them. And Tony was telling me the people that weren't even working on the wing where Mr. Harper was, where his dad was, they would come from the other parts of the care center to see Mr. Harper. His faith was upholding him, but also the others around him. And so in the trials is when we see the truthfulness, the strength, the depth, the capacity of our faith. Are you easily swayed? Are you easily taken off center and said, "Why me, Lord? Why not you?" In a true faith, we can say, just as the psalmist has said here, "The Lord is on my side," verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" You see, doubt is a great, great tool of the enemy. If he can get you just in a smidgen of doubt, get a foothold in that place and cause you to say, "Well, I just don't know." But we of true faith should understand and trust in God. And just as the psalmist, "God is on my side. What can mankind do to me?" These verses reveal that the psalmist knew that the Lord was good and the Lord is right here by my side. He took refuge in that knowledge rather than depending on anything of this world. He depended on that knowledge of God and him being good and steadfast, solid. We could have sang, "On the solid rock I stand," and it would have been suitable today. Do you have this kind of knowledge of God? Do you have this kind of knowledge of God that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is right there? Actually, he's right here, the Holy Spirit. But notice verse 18. Verse 18 is rather sobering. Again, Martin Luther cited verse 17, "I shall not die, I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." And then verse 18. "The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death." The troubles the psalmist is facing are not just from the enemies themselves and their own direction and their own desire. Verse 18 again, "The Lord has disciplined me so severely." On the surface, the psalmist's trouble seems to come from his enemies trying to kill him, hate him, etc. However, he ultimately cites the situation to the Lord's discipline. A book written many, many years ago asked the question, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" Well, he's making an assumption that we are good people and that the bad things are out of control things and they just happen. Well, we're not going there. John Calvin writes, "The main thing in adversity is to know that we are laid low by the hand of God and that this is the way in which," and he makes a list, "being laid low, being disciplined by God, is the way in which he takes to prove our allegiance. I'm committed when the sun's shining, but these cloudy days, I don't know." Secondly, to arouse us from our sluggishness. It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to become desensitized sometimes. We who've been in church all our lives, we've heard these stories over and over and over and over and over again, and we can become somewhat complacent until God brings that tragedy, or God brings in that sickness, God brings in and allows this illness or an issue come to you, and it okay, Lord. Thirdly, we're laid low to crucify that old person. See, the Christian is supposed to be about mortifying sin every day in their lives. Mortifying means to kill. And so we're supposed to be at that. Again, we can become complacent, and that sinfulness, that little sinful act that just kind of gnaws at you all the time, we begin to just, well, God knows who I am, and we, no. Following close on that again is to purge us from our filthiness. Next, to bring us into submission. And to excite us to meditate on the heavenly life. This is not our home. It's supposed to be bad here. It's supposed to be hard here. That causes, I pray, a hope, a yearning. As John wrote in Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, even today. I'm tired. I'm ready to go. The Christian lives under the providential hand of God. He brings to us blessing he desires us to experience, but he also brings and allows the trials. Is God warm and compassionate and loving? Yes. But he also brings discipline out of his justice. That's part of God as well. And he does all this to bring us closer to himself. Also, living in the presence of God and understanding this psalm, that the Christian, the righteous person, has certain privileges. Look with me at verse 19. Again, sort of takes a little bit of a turn here. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. Open to me the gates of righteousness so that I, the righteous, may come in. Now, please understand the righteous person. It is because of Jesus Christ in us that makes us righteous. It's nothing in of me, myself. The gates of righteousness are the gates of the temple. As we trust in Jesus Christ, God clothes us with the righteousness of Christ so that we may enter into his holy presence. Given this access, we must search our hearts. As I do here every Sunday, as we approach this word, we go through confession first. I want to be earnest and clean as I can before I approach the Lord and his word. And so that's why we do that. Once again, what the psalmist is showing us here is that salvation is our greatest need. And he has given us that salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we should sing just as the psalmist sings here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. And then finally, verses 22 through the end of the chapter. Again, we see a sudden turn. The psalmist is headed to the temple for worship with the righteous. And this is the Lord's providential doing. Verse 23 and 24. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in my eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How many preachers have stood in the pulpit and said that on a Sunday morning? This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Actually, we can say that every day. This is what the Lord is doing. Now, you might ask the question, what specifically is the Lord doing? While we should look at this entire text to understand that, we must specifically look in context at verse 22. Verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. I think we all know who this is referring to. Whatever the background we find here, this is the psalmist inferring to the New Testament teaching that Jesus Christ is the stone that the builders have rejected. Jesus clearly applied this to himself, and this is what gives us our most adamant praise and thanksgiving. How did God meet your greatest need? By telling you that he loves you? No, although he did. But he showed you that he loved you. With Jesus on the cross, that is the love God has for us. They rejected that stone. God raised him up again and exalted him so that every name of Jesus, under the name Jesus, every knee will bow. God's way of salvation is a stumbling block to many. So we must cry out, just as the psalmist has done, "You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you every day." So we should be quick to join the psalmist. History tells us of three Protestant ministers in France in 1745. And just as Martin Luther relied on this psalm to give him strength, these three did as well. The first is named Louis Rang. He was condemned to die, but he was offered to save his life if he would deny his faith. He did not. He was led to the scaffold singing Psalm 118. "The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And history gives us that his singing lasted until he passed. A few weeks later, another pastor in the same area, Jacques Roger, also strengthened himself with these verses. He was 70 years old, and for 40 years, the Catholic Church had been trying to kill him. As he was led to his execution, he also sang the same verses of the same song. "Give thanks to the Lord, his steadfast love endures forever." And there are other stories such as this. Now, I pray that you and I will not literally face death for our faith, but many have and many will yet. We all face various trials. Is this psalm something that you sing during those challenging times? If you were headed to the gallows, knowing that you're going to be killed for your faith, would you be one singing? We'd like to think we would. You won't know until you're there. I pray you don't have to know. I'll leave you with verses 28 and 29. "You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Amen. Amen.